happens to also be our kind of go-to guy because the pastor has an in the data here as the meeting's already. So, Bill, if you would come and give us the word, we appreciate it today. Thank you.
All right. Good morning. Should I use this mic? Is that best, Mr. Soundman? They handed me one down there, too, so whatever. Whatever works best. Okay. All right. That's great. Actually, I'll use that. Could you lower it for me just a little? Thank you. Thank you, Logan. Just a little. Thank you. Perfect. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm happy to be here. You know, I pray for you guys every Sunday morning because I do kind of have a special connection here with your church, like was just shared. John is my son-in-law. That means Elisa is my daughter. I also have my other daughter, Bethany, here today, and her too. And so we have six of our grandchildren here this morning. Our son is a police officer in Kalamazoo, and he has two. So we have eight grandchildren, which is a big blessing. Happy that John and Elise are here. It's been so encouraging to see my son-in-law grow in his faith through the years, to be called into ministry, to see him becoming the man of God that he is. He blesses me. And so this, your church has a special place in my heart, because it, you know, it's kind of family because my family is here. So I'm thrilled to be here to, share the word. As was mentioned, I do serve at Youth for Christ. I've been there for 33 years now working with troubled teens. I serve in an area called Juvenile Justice Ministry. So quite often on a Sunday morning, I'm either at the Kalamazoo County Juvenile Home teaching the word or at another placement for young offenders called Lakeside Academy. Those are two of my ministry sites. So it's been a privilege and an honor to serve that way and just see young people finding hope in Christ. And so I'm going to start with a question, and that question is, how is your heart today? How is your heart today? Is it good? Is it sad? Is it dark? Is it pure? Is it defiled? So I'm talking deeper than just the regular beating heart here, right? I think you're getting that. I'm talking about your inner soul. What is the condition of your heart? I've entitled this message, Blessed Are the Pure in Heart. We're going to look at Psalm 24 this morning. And our heart is so important when it comes to our relationship with God, because the condition of our heart is everything as far as God being able to work in our lives and our connection with Him. And so I want to just do a little illustration of some different hearts here this morning, okay? So, boy, this would be sad if this was my drinking water for today, wouldn't it? This is some dirt, actually, from our garden. Good for maybe growing things in the garden. But if this was the condition of my heart, that wouldn't be so good, right? But at one time, my heart was like this. It was dark and dirty. And I'm so thankful at the age of 20, Jesus saved me and came into my life and has transformed me. But this bottle kind of represents the unforgiven heart, the heart that's still defiled with sin. And, you know, if my heart's in this condition, is Jesus really going to dwell there? Probably not. Let's see. I got something else here. Which one do I want next? Oh, that's the good one. All right. We'll come back to that one. All right. This one, I don't know if you can see it, but it's full of stones. So this is the heart that's filled with many other things. It's so full of other things that there's really no room for Jesus in that heart. You could, you know, surmise what some of those things might be that fill people's hearts and keep Christ out. It could be the love of money. It could be, you know, seeking fame or power. It could be a number of different things. The worries and cares of this world can make that stony heart. It could be bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness that makes our heart stony. And as you can see, probably Jesus couldn't really dwell in that heart very well either. This, actually, isn't that lovely? I got that from my house filter when I changed it. It's the rusty heart, and to me that represents the religious heart that's grown kind of cold. Yeah, you may be going through the routine of prayer, you may even be reading your Bible, but it's just become a routine, and it's rusty on the inside, and you're really not walking freely with Christ. Yeah, maybe it's not as bad as those other two heart conditions, but it's easy to get that rusty heart, isn't it? Oh, now here we go. That one looks much better, doesn't it? This one represents the pure heart. It's clean, other than my bottle's a little bit cloudy because I had to pull a label off of there. But which heart do you think that Jesus is going to dwell in out of those? The pure one, right? I mean, you know, thinking of even just drinking out of these, this is the only one I would want, right? Okay. God wants to help our hearts become clean and pure like this so that he can dwell in our hearts. So I want to read together. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 24, that's going to be our main text for today. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 24. And pray with me. Father, just thank you so much that we can gather here in your name. And just thank you for your presence here in this place and in our lives, Lord. And thank you that you love us and you care about the condition of our hearts. I pray that even now in this quietness, this time of prayer, that you would help us to maybe take an honest look at our hearts, Father. Are they represented in any way by these four bottles sitting on this stool? Do we have a hard heart that needs to just be healed up and transformed by you? Or, Lord, a heart that's just not clean because there's sin in our life and we so desperately need your forgiveness and your cleansing and healing? Or, Lord, just we're kind of rusty, kind of stuck in a rut. Or do we have that pure heart, Lord? And I just pray that you would show us the value of a pure heart this morning and how you can purify our hearts, Lord, that you might dwell in our very center, in our core. And Lord, just thank you for your holy word. It is a treasure, and we pray that you would give us understanding and speak to us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I don't know, you might be wondering, where's John? Like, he knew I was coming, so he, like, no, we didn't, John and I didn't get in a fight or anything. he had a friend, right, who's been inviting him to come and visit a church whose father is pastor, right? And so John made that commitment. He knew that he wouldn't be preaching today. And I told Elisa, well, you can go with John and visit that church, but she said, no, Dad, I want to be here when you're sharing. So thank you, Elisa, for being here. I'm blessed by my ministry, but really my two of my greatest achievements are sitting right here in the second row, my daughters, who I praise God that they both love the Lord, and my son as well. and my wife, Cheryl, wave at everybody, of 38 years now. So, yeah, so that was a good match. Let's read together Psalm 24, okay? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Several times it says that the King of glory may come in. And the beautiful reality is that this awesome King of glory wants to dwell in our hearts. And he's inviting us in this psalm and really through the whole Word of God to something really special. And that is a personal, intimate relationship with our Creator. Whenever you're invited to someone or you get an invitation, one of the first things you want to know is who's inviting you, right? Because that might be a factor in whether you're going to go or not. So I want to look at this one who is inviting us. I want to look also at what he is inviting us to. If you look at verse 3 with me, the question is asked, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? So this, when it refers to the hill of the Lord and to his holy place, back in the day when this was written, their minds would go to their place of worship, the tabernacle, and then the temple. And this is calling us to intimate relationship with God. It's calling us into his presence. So the temple back in the day represented the very throne and presence of God. Sadly, Israel got the wrong impression that God was only in that temple. But the beautiful reality is God is the ever-present spirit wherever we go, that he's omnipresent. And so, yes, he is here in this place with us this morning. He was with us as we were driving here this morning. As we were laying upon our bed trying to fall asleep last night, God is always present. But this is calling, this psalm is calling us into an intimate relationship, connecting with his sacred present. The beautiful thing is that God wants to meet with us, that he wants to become real in our lives. And that's something we grow in. It was 42 years ago when Jesus rescued me. And, you know, I'm still growing in this relationship with him. I'm growing deeper in my walk with him. And that's what we should be longing for. Look at verse 6 for a minute. Look at what God is calling us to here. It says, so it's speaking of the people in verse 3 who have heard God call and are seeking him. Verse 4, they have a pure heart. Verse 6, such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Would that be a description of you this morning? One of those who seek him, who seek the face of God? And I like that it says the face of God, because that's close, right? That's like one-on-one relationship. God wants to meet with us daily in our quiet time, daily one-on-one. Look with me at Psalm 27. You have said, speaking of God, you have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. God is calling his people to seek his face. That's a daily prayer for myself and my family. I ask God to speak to my loved ones. Father, speak to their hearts, seek my face. Father, speak to me, seek my face. It's a calling, God, and I believe that God is calling every one of us to this. And our response is, your face I will seek, O Lord. Now look it back at Psalm 24. And I want to show you something in verses 7 and 9. So we're going to go through this psalm, but we're kind of jumping around just a little bit. In verse 7 of Psalm 24, it says, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Verse 9, lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. I want to think for a minute, what are these gates and what is the ancient door? We're being called to lift those up. Lift up your heads really gives us a clue of what this is talking about. And I want to say that the gate here represents our eyes, our ears, and our mind. So our eyes are kind of the gate to our inner soul. Our ears, what we hear, what we listen. And it says, lift up your heads. And God is saying, look for me in your life. Seek me. Open your mind. Open your heart to me. The ancient doors speak of our heart. In fact, keep your finger here because we're going to come back to Psalm 24. But look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 with me just for a moment. It mentions this ancient door. Often this verse is used for evangelism, but this is actually in the context that it was written. It's written to the church, which is significant here. Revelation 3:20, and this is Jesus speaking to the church. Look what he says in verse 20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. Jesus said, I'm standing at the door, church, and I'm knocking and I'm asking to come in. What that implies is that we can be part of the church, we can be God's child, but we can also shut him out of our heart, can't we? And all of us do that. Sadly, I confess, I do that at times. Those times are getting shorter and shorter, and I'm becoming more and more aware of when I do that. Have you ever seen the painting of Jesus? He's standing and he's got his fist raised like this because he's knocking on a door, right? How many of you ever seen that painting? We were eating dinner at somebody's home and they had that in their living room, and I was standing in front of it kind of looking at it. I never really looked at it too closely. And the host asked me, he said, do you see anything unusual about that painting? So I started looking at it closer. And, you know, I'd seen this painting many times, but I noticed something was missing in the painting. There was no doorknob on the door. So if you look at that next time you see that, notice that there's no doorknob on the door. That's unusual, right? Doors have door handles, doorknobs. And I said, there's no door handle on that door. And he said, that's right, because that door represents our heart. It can only be opened from the inside. Jesus doesn't just open our hearts and come in. We have to invite him in. We have to take the time and open our hearts to him and really, if you're anything like me, that is a daily thing that I need to do. And sometimes throughout the day, because something will happen and maybe I have a bad thought or whatever it might be, and it's kind of like, boom, that door just shut. And I just have to say, Lord, I'm sorry for this attitude. Please forgive me and open my heart back in. And he says, I will come in. And I love that. And he doesn't give up on us. He keeps knocking and knocking. Maybe he's been knocking on your heart. And maybe he's just appealing to you this morning. My son, my daughter, open your heart to me. Let me come in. Let me bring healing and transformation into your life. He wants to dwell in our hearts. He wants us to be in harmony with him in a right relationship, which I love it that that is his will. And when we allow him, he'll work that in our lives. And there is nothing in our hearts that he can't cleanse or heal up. In fact, let's go back to Psalm 24. There's some beautiful names and titles in this. So I want to focus just for a moment on this one who is inviting us into his very presence. And so we're going to start in verse 1 and 2. Psalm 24, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." Now notice that Lord is spelled in capital letters. Anytime you see that in the ESV, New American Standard, NIV, different translations of the Bible, when they do that, capital L-O-R-D, that is the sacred name of God in the Old Testament. The Hebrews letter Y-H-V-H or Y-H-W-H. And the name was so sacred to the Jews that they would substitute the word Lord because they felt unworthy to say his name. Some have said that it might have been pronounced Jehovah. Some Hebrew scholars say Yahweh. But there's no vowels in it, and so we're kind of actually puzzled on how it's actually pronounced. I listened to one teaching on this sacred name, and it said that those Hebrew letters are the sound of breathing. That when you take a deep breath, there's a sound, and when you exhale, and that's kind of an interesting thought, because we have to take a breath to stay alive, right? To know that he is sustaining us every moment. Job spoke of the air that we breathe as the very breath of God. And you think about that, and that to me, that's a picture of God's nearness. He is the Lord, and this speaks of him as being the great I am, the sovereign one, the creator of all things. This amazing creator God is calling us to his very throne. What a blessing. Psalm 117 says this, "And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So we woke up this morning because he's holding all things together. He's keeping it all going, this spinning earth that, is spinning so quickly and around the sun. It's just amazing. Now look in verse 5 what God is called. It says, "He will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." So here he is called the God of our salvation. The word God here in the Hebrew is Elohim. You'll find that word 2,570 times in Scripture. That's a lot, isn't it? And this name speaks of God's creative power, his governing power, his omnipotence, his sovereignty, his greatness, and his glory. In this word salvation, it says he is the God of our salvation. In the Hebrew, it's Yeshah. And it's defined as liberty, deliverance, prosperity, safety, and salvation. I love that because he is the mighty one who can rescue us. He is the one who can bring us true freedom. He's the one that can bring healing and transformation in our lives. The reason I came to Jesus as a young man at the age of 20 is I saw him set my best friend free from drug addiction. And I was trapped along with my friend John. And my life had become so empty and meaningless that oftentimes I would think about suicide. And I was trapped and I didn't know how to get out. And I saw him rescue my friend John and totally set him free and heal and transform him. And I knew it was a miracle of God. I knew that he could not change like that on his own. And he began to share with me the story of Jesus who ultimately redeemed us with his blood on that cross so that we could have this kind of freedom. This is the one who's calling us into this close and intimate relationship. Look at what he is called in verse 7. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. He is the King of glory. Revelation 19:16 calls Jesus the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, we have a president here in our nation, but I'll guarantee if you wanted to go and meet with our president face-to-face, that would be a very difficult thing to make happen. Right? Okay? We could all write him nice letters and tell him why we want a meeting with him, and very likely none of us would get a personal invitation, right? Back in the day, the throne room, only certain people were allowed to come into the presence of the king. And if you ever got to that place where you actually could come before the king and present a petition, that was like the highest honor that you could ever achieve. And here the King of all creation is calling us to come into his presence daily, into his throne room. He's calling us to come, this King of glory. Glory speaks of majesty. It speaks of his splendor and his beauty. He's called King of glory about five times in this passage. And you know, as you read it, I think he's trying to say, yes, I am the king, and I love you, and you can dwell with me. You can have this personal relationship. In verse 8, the question is asked, who is this King of glory? And look at how it is answered in verse 8. The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. And this word mighty in the Hebrew, it's an interesting word. We would think that it would probably mean strength, but it really is literally means a powerful warrior, a champion. That our Jesus, our Lord and Savior, conquered Satan. He conquered death. He is a mighty Savior. He is a mighty warrior, and he wants to help fight the battles that we face in life. That was such an important lesson I had to learn as a young believer. Because when Jesus came in my life, I had a lot going on that was not good. And I thought, okay, he's in my life, but I've got to fight these battles in my own strength. And I failed until I learned that he is my strength. That he doesn't, you know, somehow I thought when I would pray, Lord, give me strength for this day, that he would like zap me with enough power to get me through the day. But what I had to learn from the Word of God is that he is my strength. So it's as I am attached to him in a right relationship and drawing on his power, that's where the power comes from. He is the strength. And the good news is we don't have to fight these battles alone that we're going through. You know, and for me, part of it was I was ashamed to even talk to the Lord about what some of those battles were. Like, I was ashamed of some things in my life, and so I didn't even want to talk to the Lord about them. But the more I read of his word, the more I discovered how loving my Father is and how great He is. And I read time and time again where He invites me to bring my struggles to Him. Then I learned the truth that He is the all-knowing, ever-present one, and that I'm not hiding anything from Him. And I learned to get totally honest with God, because He already knows I'm not hiding anything from Him. So I could talk to Him about my struggles that I would have been ashamed to share even with my best friend. So I talked to the Lord about everything, about feelings that come upon me, about struggles that I have, because I know that He is already fully aware of it, and He's the only one that can heal and transform it in the first place. In verse 10, He is called the Lord of hosts. And again, we're seeing that Lord in capital letters, the great I am, the Yahweh. And this word host in the Hebrew means an army. And it makes us think of his host of holy angels, that we're not alone in this battle. And I'm so thankful for his angels. And again, God is this mighty warrior who is willing to come alongside and fight with us through the struggles of our lives. So we just get a little glimpse here of God's beauty and glory just from Psalm 24. One of the main purposes of God's book is it is a revelation of who He is. And the more we study it, the more we learn of who He is, the more our faith and confidence will grow in Him. God is so incredible and so beautiful and so awesome, and this mighty God loves us. Again, you know, and I keep coming back to this, He's calling us to intimacy with Himself. And this is such a great invitation, that our God wants us to meet with Him one-on-one in a daily, in our lives. I mean, this is beautiful. I love coming together as a family, and I love to hear my pastor teach at the church that we go to. And I'm blessed by that. But I'm telling you, the most deepest, meaningful times with me meeting with God is that those one-on-one times in a quiet place, just getting honest and real with God, opening His book and asking Him to speak to us through His Word. So I wanna look at something that Jesus said. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 5:8. And this is really kind of the title, where I got the title of my message from. A very familiar scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. So Jesus is, you know, we call this the Beatitudes, because He said, blessed are, and He comes down to verse 8, and He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This word, it simply means to be clean, clear, and pure. This is pure. These other ones here, not so pure, are they? It's this heart that's going to see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And this word "see" is an interesting word. It's the word that we get our English word optometry from. And it means to gaze at with wide open eyes, as at something remarkable. It's the opposite of a casual glance. It signifies an earnest and more continued inspection. One of the things when I'm studying God's Word that I am really looking for the most is, what does this passage teach me about my Father in heaven? What does this word, what does this name or title, Prince of Peace, for example, or Mighty God, what does that teach me about my Father? That He can bring me peace like no others, that He is the Mighty One and I can draw upon His strength. Jesus said, it's as our hearts are pure that we shall see God. We'll see him more clearly in his word. We'll see him more clearly in the world around us. We'll see him in the beauty of his creation. Bottom line, he will become more real to us as we allow him to heal and cleanse and transform our hearts. I know the importance of confession, and we're going to come to that here in closing. A verse that really has always stuck with me, and it just jumped out at me the first time I saw this. In Hebrews 11:27, it's talking about Moses and all that he went through. And it says this, that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I like that. Moses endured all the trials and all that he went through. And you read his story in Exodus, and he went through a lot. It says that he endured and he pressed forward by seeing the one who is invisible. And that's the idea of the spiritual eyes and looking for him and in the pure heart. If you're having trouble seeing God, if you're having trouble connecting with God, could it be because of the condition of your heart? So in closing, I just want to talk about the cleansing of our hearts. And I just want to share with you a prayer that I pray every day. I don't pray it for myself. Well, I do pray it for myself, but I pray it for believers in every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. And this is my daily prayer. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. I think this is a prayer that believers need to be praying more than ever in light of what's going on in our world, in our nation, and throughout this globe. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I pray this daily. I pray, Lord, help us to be humble before you. Help us to see ourselves as we really are, to take an honest look at our lives and our walk with you, and help us to understand how much we so desperately need you. And Lord, help us to pray. You ever go to spend some time in prayer and it just feels fake? Or it feels like you're talking to yourself. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I just say, Lord, help me to pray. I can't even pray right now. Help me to pray. And I'll sit in that silence for a moment. And something shifts within me. And I know it's the Holy Spirit coming alongside and helping me to pray and get real and connect with God. Lord, help me to be humble before you. Help me to pray. Lord, are there any wicked ways in me? Help me to turn from them. Lord, help us to turn from our wicked ways. And he said, and seek my face. And you know that prayer in Psalm 27, I always say, Lord, speak to our hearts, seek my face. I want to feel that call to seek him. And he says, he'll forgive our sins and heal our lands. Well, that healing begins in our own hearts and in our own lives. And he is the ultimate healer. I could tell you some crazy stories of people I've seen him heal and transform. A good friend of mine, he's been out of prison now for 17 years, but he spent 18 years in prison. And I had him at one of my groups last week sharing his story and just the healing and transformation that has taken place in his life because God is a mighty healer. It talks in Psalm 24, where we started, you know, was asking the question, who can come into his presence? And it says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. Again, just the importance of our heart being cleansed. Isaiah 90 or 59:2 says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. One of the first verses I memorized as a new believer was 1 John 1:9. And I'm going to guess that some of you could stand up and quote that for us. Okay, it says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I memorized that verse because I needed it so much. I was struggling so much, and I still need it today. And, you know, the devil, he's called the accuser of the brethren, and he will come. You'll mess up, and you'll hear that voice. Man, you're never going to be able to change. Why even try? You know, God doesn't love you. He's done with you. He's not going to forgive you again. But the more I learned of Jesus' sacrifice and the power of his blood, that every one of my sins was covered at that cross. In fact, it says in 1 John that his atoning sacrifice atoned for the sins of the whole world. That's a lot of sin. That's how powerful his blood is to forgive. And I began to understand, like, no, he will forgive me. And he keeps his word, and he promises if I confess it, if I name it to him and ask his forgiveness, he'll cleanse me. And so I keep a real short account with God. Like the moment I realize I messed up or sin, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to ask him to forgive me right then and there. If I'm driving down the road, I'm going to talk to him wherever I'm at. The minute the Holy Spirit shows me where I messed up, I'm going to confess it to God because he promised that he will take it away and he will cleanse me. And that is a beautiful promise. I memorized a prayer from Psalm 51. Go ahead and turn over there with me. Psalm 51 is a beautiful psalm. It's all about forgiveness. It's when David repented of his sin with Bathsheba and all the dirt that went along with that, awful things that David did. But when he was confronted with his sin, he was humbled and he repented. And we find this prayer in Psalm 51. And he prayed, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sins. So that is now a daily prayer for me. And I'll just say in the morning, have mercy upon me, O God. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sins. And why? Because I don't want this heart, or I don't want this heart. I want this pure heart. I want to be right with God. And, you know, these beautiful words, according to your steadfast love, that's how his love is described. According to his abundant mercy. None of us are beyond his love or his mercy. I love the end of Romans 8 that says nothing can separate us from his love. He is that faithful, loving Father who is so ready to forgive his children and bring healing and transformation to us. It's because of his love. It's because he knows how much we so desperately need him. And he knows the price that was paid for our forgiveness, the precious blood of Jesus at that cross. You know, I met a boy at Lakeside Academy, and he was really, really struggling. And we did a message on forgiveness one night in chapel. And Wes came up to me after the service, and he said, can I talk? And I said, yeah, what's going on? And he said, man, I've done something so bad that I know that God can't forgive me. I'm like, first of all, you know, where your mind would go with that, right? Like, did you murder someone? What did you do? Like, you think you can't be forgiven for what you did. And he had to get back with his dorm. The staff or his guys were getting lined up, and they had to go back. And I said, so, Wes, can I come up after school, and we'll talk about this? And so I came the next day, and I shared 1 John 1:9 with him. I shared why Jesus died on that cross, that Jesus' blood covers all sin. And he began to see it, and he began to understand that he could be forgiven. And he confided in me what he had done that he thought he couldn't be forgiven for. He had broken into a church in his neighborhood, and he had stolen from it more than once, but he got caught the second time. And he got locked up for that, and he thought, you know, I've stolen from God's house. How can I be forgiven? But that afternoon, he realized he could be forgiven, and he cried out to God, and he confessed it to him, and I saw this young man become alive in his faith. And I saw him heal up and begin to transform. And a couple weeks later, he came up to me and he said, Bible Bill, that's my nickname that they call me. He said, Bible Bill, I know I'm forgiven, but I still feel bad about what I did. Like, I still need to do something more. And I said, well, you know, you need to ask the people you offended to forgive you. And he's like, what? I said, let's get the address of the church, and why don't you write them a letter and tell them that you're sorry for what you did, and that you've asked Jesus to forgive you, and you're now a child of God, and you're trying to you want to make things right. And so he's like, boy, I don't know, I guess. And so we got the address of the church over on the east side of the state where he was from, and he wrote them a letter asking them to forgive him. And about a week later, he came up to me, was so happy, and he said, Bill, they wrote me back, and they forgave me, and they want me to come to their church when I get out of here and come home. And, well, he did that. He got out of Lakeside. He went back to his hometown, and he visited the very church that he had stolen from, and they welcomed him with open arms. And, you know, that's the beauty of forgiveness. That's the beauty of God's forgiveness, that when we confess it, you know, it's been paid for, and he can take that from our hearts. The second part of this prayer is found in verse 10 of Psalm 51, and I pray this also daily. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I would challenge you just to memorize that prayer. It's a beautiful prayer to pray. And I pray it throughout the day. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He can shift our attitudes. He can shift our hearts. He can help us to see our circle of life in a new way, filled with hope instead of despair. No matter how tough your situation is, with him by your side, it changes everything. It doesn't necessarily change the hardship that you're going through at that time, but it changes your heart so that you can make it through it and that you have hope while you're going through that hard time. And the final prayer that I pray every day, I want to show you, it's from Ephesians chapter 3. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. You find this beautiful prayer. Whenever you find prayers in the Bible, this is God's way of saying, I want you to talk to me about this. I want you to ask me for these things. So it's kind of like a check that God gives us, and we can cash that check. It's his promises. And throughout the whole Word of God, you'll find many, many beautiful prayers. So Ephesians chapter 3, and this prayer goes from verse 14 through 21. But the part of the prayer I want you to see, so Paul he's praying this prayer for the Ephesians, verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees. And he comes down to verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that beautiful? He's saying, pray that Christ would dwell in your hearts. And this word dwell means to be at home in. That's what the word literally means, dwell. That Christ wants to dwell. That's how near he wants to be. Not just a belief that we have, but he wants to be a reality in our very hearts. Like, he wants to dwell. And so I just say, Lord Jesus, dwell in my heart today. What a simple prayer, right? Lord, dwell in my heart. I memorized this whole prayer because it's so powerful. But remember that verse from Ephesians or Revelation? He said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. So when I say, Lord, dwell in my heart, that's my way of saying the door of my heart is open. I want to be right with you. And I learned really early on in my walk with Christ that if my heart is not right with God, nothing else in my life is really right. But when I can get that part right, then the other areas begin to become right and to fall into place. So, you know, it's obvious that, you know, you wouldn't want to drink out of any of these bottles except for this one, the pure. And that's the kind of heart that Jesus wants to dwell in. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Will you daily seek this King? I know some of you are. But to make that time, for me, you know, the morning is when I need it the most, starting out my day. So I want to get up early enough where I can spend time alone with him. But if I find a moment throughout my day, I'm going to seek him. I try to do what Ephesians 5:17 says, and where it says, pray without ceasing. So to establish that right relationship in the morning at the beginning of your day, and then just keep talking to him throughout your day. Every moment that you can turn your mind back to him and thank him for a blessing, or ask him to help you with the job that you're about to do, or, you know, even driving when that driver behind you is irritating you so bad, you're talking to the Lord, Lord, help me to have patience. It makes a tremendous difference, seeking him. And seek to keep your heart pure and right with him, to have that pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let me close with a prayer, and I think we're going to do a song. Is that right? Okay. All right. Let's pray, and then we'll worship. Father, just thank you for your word. Thank you for Psalm 24 and the beautiful truths that are in there, that you are the great I am, that you are the God of our salvation, that you are the King of glory, that you are the mighty one to save, that you are mighty warrior. And King of all creation, you invite us to come to your very throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank you for that. Thank you that you love us, that you're the best Father ever. You're the most mighty Lord and Savior ever. And no matter what we're going through right now in our lives, Lord, you love us and you want to help us through it. And Lord, I pray for every one of us that we could go deeper in our walk with you, that we could know your love in deeper ways, Father. And I thank you that there's nothing we can do to make you love us more, because your love is perfect already. But we can experience more and more of your love as we seek and learn more of who you are. And I pray that you would help that to be true in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for letting me come and share. This morning, it's great to be here.